Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Friday, January 30th. We're giving you another show, as we do every day, because we have nothing better to do. So we're here to entertain and talk garbage. Well, we do talk about important things, I think, right?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Sometimes we talk about things that are unimportant, but that's okay. You know, I mean, sometimes we can just talk about the Kim Kardashians of the world and things like that.
It's news too.
Yeah. Although we don't talk about her much because there's not much to say about her.
No.
Right?
Not lately. The latest news with her, she's trying to have another baby.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
I thought they had marriage problems, didn't they? Or was
no,
I just hearing that?
No, they always say that.
Rumors, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, well, she can have another one, I suppose, right? She's already married. She's not on the market, so she doesn't have I don't know. She doesn't have to. I mean, she doesn't have to take care of her body, I guess is what I'm trying to say, you know, because I don't know, whatever. I say that because in my experience, it's happened that more than once, I've seen that once a woman is off the market, she's married, she's whatever, many stop taking care of themselves, you know. And it's not pretty. It's not pretty.
Well.
Yeah.
Lots to say about that.
Okay, go ahead.
I think, A, she's in the public eye, and she always will take care of herself. And also, I don't know that that's the case for many women, and I also do think a lot of men let themselves go, too.
That's true. I have to agree with that. But I felt it in my own flesh, so I know. And it's I guess my point is you don't take it for granted that nobody's going to care how you're going to look when you're married. You know,
yeah.
I think you should always take care of yourself and always be attractive to your husband. And the same for men, too. I mean, I'm not saying that they shouldn't, you know.
Yes. I think that people shouldn't be lazy in their relationships or with themselves.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we agree on something. Sometimes we say controversial things on the show and we're open to debate.
Yes.
I don't know. I guess sometimes you're raised with certain things and it doesn't leave you, you know. But at any rate, I'm just not for marriage where people change and they grow apart, you know, and I think that's sad. Some people get married and they grow closer.
Yeah.
And they become a lot like each other, you know. But sometimes you wake up one morning and you realize that's not the person I married. And maybe I'm not the same person
right.
that they married.
I mean, that happens. You know, people change every day. Over time, you learn different things. You experience different things. You don't always come out of it the same way. And it's sad, but it can happen.
Yeah.
You hope it won't. You know, you sign up for the whole shebang and you till death do us part, but
right.
you don't always stay the same person.
That's true. That's true. But, I mean, you don't have to change your values or anything. But, you know, I don't know. I think that after several years, you can find out what a person is really like.
Right.
It can take that long sometimes.
Yes, which is why I don't understand people that like rush into marriage.
Yeah.
Or people that have problems that then get married anyway.
It's yeah, and like, they think it's going to solve their problems.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. At the same token, I don't think that relationships should have to be something that you work hard at. You know, I mean, it's something that's supposed to be supposed to flow, I think. You know,
yes.
I mean, that's at least my view of a long-term relationship. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, sometimes just people are different. You know, they're not the same. Different goals, different values maybe. You know, I mean, like, for example, let's say, you know, I mean, this is not me, obviously. I'm not a drinker or anything. But let's say someone's a drinker and, you know, or let's say they're both drinkers, right? When they meet, they like it, they party, they have fun. And then let's say one decides to quit, right?
Yeah.
So what's going to happen now? You know, they're not going to get along now, you know, because one person gets drunk. They probably don't do a lot. And the other person's like, you know, you're slacker.
Yeah.
You know. So that's what I mean, I guess. You know, it's just people, they don't always stay the same. I mean, even with friends and stuff, you know. I mean, I have many friends from childhood that I cut the contact with, and then, you know, with social media and stuff, you meet them again and all that, which is exciting, you know. But you realize we're not the same people. I mean, we were kids when we were together.
Yeah.
You know, as adults, we may not get along.
It's true. That's why people change. But yeah. I watched a really lovely story this morning on the Today Show, and I cried because make me cry every day.
Really?
Yeah. It was too.
Why do they have do they have a section that's supposed to make you cry?
No, I just react to these things because these stories are also like interesting, or like I cry at the dumbest things, but or not the dumbest things. The things that make me tear up are probably different than most people.
Okay.
So like I teared up at the Today Show commercial for the Super Bowl that they aired.
The commercial?
Yeah, they aired it this morning.
Wow, was it puppies?
No, it was just the anchors walking through New York.
Really?
Yes. And I just love their dynamic. They all get along so well, at least they appear to, on camera. And it's a big team, and they all love what they do, it seems. And it was their city, and it was just all so, like, alive and powerful, and the music was beautiful. It was a Coldplay song, and whatever. So if I could be on the Today Show, I would.
Yeah.
In L.A., not New York. But so anyway, they showed a story about two guys that met in high school. They played on opposing teams, football teams, and it was during the time of segregation in, like, 1944.
Oh, okay.
And so they weren't supposed to be friends. They weren't supposed to shake each other's hands at the end of the game. But the white player went up to the black player after the game and said, "It was great playing opposite you. You're a great player." Then they ended up going to the same. They both went off to fight in World War II. Ended up coming back, going to the same college. Both played on the same football team in college. And then, like, this kept happening throughout their lives. But then they each married their wives, ended up in different states, and they lost touch because it was before, like, Facebook and all of that.
Right.
And then one of their wives got Alzheimer's. And it, like, toward the end of her life, was like, "I need to reconnect with my friend." So he did. They became, like, phone friends. They would talk once a week. And then his wife died. And then his dream after that, he had a stroke. His dream was to be reunited with his friend. It was after 60 years.
Wow.
That they were reunited.
Yeah.
And it was during a time, like, they became friends during a time where they weren't allowed to be friends, and that was just such a meaningful friendship for both of them. And they've always respected each other, and they've, like, thought each other was, like, very classy individuals, and maintained this respect for each other. And they came together on the Today Show, and it was just so moving.
Oh wow!
And they gave each other a big hug. They were both, like, I don't know what, in their 80s, you know. And it was just so wonderful to see that.
Well, yeah, that's a good story.
Yeah, that's can a watch good
story,
it.
So yeah. Good. But it's good that you connect with it on an emotional level.
Oh, yeah.
That you can cry, you know.
Oh yeah, no, and I sent it to my best friend, and she's like, "You're obsessed." Great story. You need to calm down with the Today Show. I love it.
Oh God. I wish I had time to watch those morning shows. I used to, but I mean, way back when I was young, but I mean, I need to get up a little earlier and watch that stuff, you know? I mean, it's really cool.
Well,
it's
I get up at like 8, day. So.
Yeah.
I watch it from 8 to 9 while I'm eating, reading the news, watching their news, and getting ready.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I mean, it's amazing that you have time from 8 till 9.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it takes an hour to get ready, you
what?
Know?
What? What are you doing?
Well, I don't know. I mean, just getting ready, shaving, you know, taking a shower, whatever, drinking some coffee. I mean, it takes me a long time. You know,
I get ready from 9 to 9:20.
Wow.
That's when I like
including shower and everything?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm really fast.
You are? Wow. Yeah, maybe I need to figure out how to do that.
I sort of sit around from 8 to 9 eating breakfast and, like, watching the Today Show.
That's a great way to start the day, you know?
Thanks.
I mean, for me, it's like I get up, the first thing I see is all the emails I got overnight.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God, you know? So maybe I need a little buffer before that.
Yeah.
You know, even if I watched half an hour of it or something.
Yeah.
So usually there's a lot of action between 8 and 9?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of good stuff. I love it.
Okay.
It makes me happy. It's like part of my routine. It starts my day off.
Yeah. That's good. It's good that you're able to connect with it.
Yeah. Because they're not just like telling you like the hard news, and it's not just like, you know, the awful things happening in the world. It's like stories about friends, and it's also like they do have the puppies, and they do have stories on the Super Bowl. And that's where I heard of the story with Martin Pistorius, who, you know, was trapped inside his body. And while that's a scary thought, it also turned out to be okay because he wrote a book and he's getting married, or he got married and he's possibly having a kid.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, what a story, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. In a few minutes, we're going to talk to, well, actually, in a couple minutes, he's going to call in. We're going to talk to another host of LA Talk Radio. In fact, he's the co-host of Jessica Haynes, to whom we spoke yesterday. And her story was amazing. And yeah, you guys should go back and listen to the show if you want something inspiring and a story of courage. So I was happy to talk to her.
Me too.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, have you ever watched Good Morning America or anything, or you just like the Today Show?
I love the Today Show.
Yeah, so it's sort of like you connect with the anchors and
yes.
the co-hosts.
I don't know what it is about them, but I feel like they're my friends. I love them. They do a great job.
Really? So who is there now? I mean, is Matt Lauer still on?
Yes.
Okay, and who's the woman?
There's Natalie Morales, Savannah Guthrie, Al Roker. Uh-huh. Then there's Tamron Hall. Carson Daly. Who else
oh, wow.
is on there? Oh, Willie Geist. I love Willie Geist.
Really?
They're all funny, too. Yeah. They kind of push the envelope a little bit.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt Lauer's been there forever, huh?
Forever.
Yeah.
Love him.
Yeah.
Al Roker's been there forever, too.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're like staples.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they are. They are. I mean, I remember when Jane Pauley was there. Did you ever hear of her?
Yeah, I don't think okay. I watched that.
No, you were too young for that one. But yeah, I mean, that was fun. Anyway, I think our guest is calling in, so let's go ahead and take this call. And good morning, you're on the air. Is this Michael?
Yes. Hey, Sam. Hey, Jen.
Hi.
Hi, Michael. Michael, we have a terrible connection. Are you like in a noisy place?
No, I'm here on my headsets here. Is that any better?
Oh, it's because of your headset. Do you want to try just a regular phone?
This is a regular phone. I can call in on Skype like I do my shows on LA if you want me to try that.
No, that's okay. We'll just stay with that. I mean, it's not as noisy now. So let me introduce you. We're talking to Michael Long. Where are you calling us from this morning, Michael?
Well, I'm in Oklahoma City.
Oh, in Oklahoma. I don't know why I had a feeling you were like on the East Coast or something, but
yeah.
like up north. I don't know why, but
yeah, right
it's very cool. Yeah.
In the heart of tornado country, which we probably will get into here in my life story. But
yeah, huh? Well, Michael, let me introduce you. You're the host of Empowering Your Life. You're the co-host with Jessica Haynes, to whom we spoke yesterday, and we mentioned you. And so you've been with us for how long? Like a couple months now already, right?
Yeah, yeah, since November. We're in our third month, yes.
Yeah, since November. So that's cool. We wish you a long run with that. You have a great show. I listened to it the other day. And in fact, I was a guest on your show last week.
Yeah, we really enjoyed having you on, Sam, and hearing your story and hearing how you made LA Talk Radio. And we just really love being on. I've you know, I've been in radio now 6 years with my other show, Journey into the Light, that I do daily. It's a spiritual radio show on Blog Talk Radio, and I have a lot of guests on there. But, you know, as I told you, Sam, when you were on my show on L.A., I've always wanted to be on L.A. Talk Radio, and it's really a pleasure to be on there. I love the energy. As I told you, the sound system is just awesome, and so, yeah, we're really enjoying it.
Sounds great. So now, how did the idea of empowering your life come about?
Well, you know, on my show, Journey into the Light, that I do daily, it's all about helping people and getting people. And what I've noticed by doing my show is when people listen to my show, a lot of people come and they listen and they're kind of down and out in life. But they listen to the show and they write me emails and they tell me, they say, Mike, you know, I've listened to your show. I was down and out. One lady wrote me an email and she said, Mike, my fiance we were ready to get married and he died in a tragic car accident. And she said, I lost my will to live. I didn't see any reason to live. And she said, for some reason, I found your radio show during my lunchtime and I would play it over and over. And within a period of time, I got back on my feet and now I'm living life again. And so you see those stories and you see how much, you know, your show helps people. So the whole idea of empowering your life is to show people that have, you know, just regular people like us, and they've really made something out of their lives to, you know, encourage others who are listening to know they can do the same.
Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. You know, there's some amazing stories out there. And, you know, Jen, we were talking about Jessica's accident and stuff, you know. And it's like all this adversity that people go through. And so it's cool. I mean, it must make you feel really good that she actually paid attention to what she had to say and it helped her out in her life.
Yeah, it was really inspiring, and to receive that email, because I tell you, Sam and Jen, that, you know, that email came right at a point. It was, you know, my first couple of years in radio was really tough, because I guess you go into radio, and especially spiritual radio, and you think, oh, you know, everybody's going to love this, people are going to really encourage you, but you get a whole bunch of haters out there too, people who don't want you to step on their toes. And I wasn't used to that. And right before I opened this email, I was ready to end my show. I just told my wife, I said, I've had enough. This is just not worth it. And I read the email. And after I read the email and saw how much the show meant to her, how could I quit? You know?
That's true. So, yeah, that's very true. So when did you get started in radio? I mean, obviously you have a passion for it. You're doing a daily show, which requires quite a bit of effort. But you devoted yourself to that. And so that's more of a spiritual show, right? The one you have on a daily basis.
Yeah, you know, I started it in 08, 09. And, you know, it started off with my interest into the paranormal and, you know, is there ghosts? And, you know, and you know, that started because of my childhood, because, you know, when I was just a teenager, when I was just 13 years old, I lost my dad. Just all of a sudden, he's dead. He didn't wake up one morning. And then 2.5 years later, I'm driving. I'm only 16 years old. I'm driving the family out to a vacation. And lo and behold, we, you know, kind of glance the dog, and my mom, who's next to me, gets scared, and she has a heart attack right next to me and dies.
Wow.
And I'm only 16 years old. I'm still a senior in high school.
Wow.
And so from that, you know, I lost my faith for a while. I thought, you know, what kind of God is going to leave, you know, the kids without, you know, having even got done with school, with no parents at all.
Right.
And, you know, I kind of lost my faith for a while. But it also, you know, made me, you know, as far as look into where do we go from here? You know, like, where did my parents go? The church that I was raised in, the Catholic Church, really didn't give me any answers. So I looked into, you know, where do we go from here? You know, is this it? Is this a one-time shot, and once we die, lights out, or is there something after this? So, you know, I picked up a book from someone, Danny and Brinkley, who's a very famous near-death experiencer, and I read his story of what happened to him when he died and he was struck by lightning. Uh-huh. And when I found, you know, when he went over to the other side and what he experienced, just nothing but love and, you know, this wonderful love that he's never experienced ever in his life. And he thought, growing up and hearing all the churches preach, that he would be one of the ones in hell, because he said, you know, in his book, and he's been on my show before, if there was anyone who deserved to go to hell, it was him. He said he lived a pretty bad life up to that point.
Yeah.
And he looked and like, there's no hell. Where's hell? You know. Yeah. So it just you know, furthered my interest into looking into the other side, and so I started a show based on that, but it quickly turned into a spiritual show of helping people, how to empower people and get their lives better. So that's kind of where I'm at this point.
Sounds good. You guys can listen to Michael and Jessica every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on LA Talk Radio and get a lot more of this stuff. So you've been doing radio for a few years. What did you do before that?
Well, before that, I was you know, involved in internet, you know, sales, electronic sales. Me and my wife had a very successful business online. Mm-hmm. And this is before the crash of 08, 09. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had a business worldwide that we were doing close to $2 million in sales.
Mm-hmm.
And, but once the stock market crashed, I mean, all the sales just stopped, you know, just nothing. Just so we had so much invested. When you have such a big business like that, right, you got so much inventory, you know, we crashed and we lost everything. Right. And then, but, you know, as I told my kids then, you know, I have twins, beautiful twins, Nick and Holly, and you know, I said, you know, we're gonna be all right. We know we're gonna go on. We're gonna have to move, but we're gonna be all right. Well, 2 years later, lo and behold, we got hit by the big F5 tornado in Moore, Oklahoma, in May of 2013. That was on CNN and all that. Once again, we have to move. And one story I wanted to share with you guys was, that tornado hit May 20th, 2013, and then 11 days later, there were some more tornadoes coming into Oklahoma City, and we were in the hotel at the time, so we left the hotel because the tornadoes are coming to a hotel. So we get in our car and start driving to our damaged house that was already hit. And I said, you know, we'll be safe here. Well, lo and behold, about 7 o'clock, this is, you know, May, so the sun doesn't go down to about 8:30. My son was saying, Dad, he said, you need to look outside. It's really bad. And I said, son, it isn't that bad. I'm watching the weather. I've always, in Oklahoma, you have to always be up on the weather because of all the tornadoes we have in the springtime. But I looked outside, and at 7 o'clock, it was pitch black. Right. And I said, holy smokes, you know. I said, it's not worse than that. But anyway, so we got everybody in the car, you know, and lo and behold, we got on our street, and our street was just full of cars. I mean, it was like a parking lot. Everybody, because of the tornado 11 days ago, the huge tornado that killed 45 people, nobody wanted to be in the path of this one. So as we were inching our way, trying to get out of the path of this tornado, because this tornado, you can actually see the footage of it on YouTube. It's the El Reno, if you want to look it up, it's the El Reno largest tornado in history. It's 2.4 miles wide. And so we were going down this highway, and it completely stopped because of all the traffic. And at one point, our car is shaking sideways, and my son says, "Dad," he says, "do something." And, you know, and so I looked, and on the other side of the highway, going the opposite way, it was pretty well clear. There was no cars there because that would be heading into the storm. So I and some other cars got on the other side of the road, the opposite way of traffic, and started going so we could get out of this pass. And occasionally cars were coming. You know, this is kind of like the, you know, the Bruce Willis movies and things where you, like, escape from New York and you'd never think you'd be in that situation. But here I was, and driving for about 15 miles just to get out of the path of these tornadoes. It was just hell-raising. And, but, you know, shaking the whole time, just holding on to the steering wheel, keeping, you know, and, but we got through it, you know, and so since then life has been a lot more calmer, so.
Yeah, well, that's good. Congratulations on that. Michael Long, you can catch his daily show on Blog Talk Radio. It's called Journey into the Light. And, of course, you want to listen to him on LA Talk Radio every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time with Jessica Haynes. Michael, thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to plug before you leave?
No, I think that I just want to just let everybody know who's listening. If you'd like to be a guest on Empowering Your Life on LA Talk Radio, please contact me. All my information is there, how to get a hold of us, and we'd love to talk with you and have you on the show. So thanks so much, Sam and Jen, for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Of course, Michael. It was a pleasure. Thank you and all the best. Have a great weekend, Michael.
Okay, you too.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye. Yeah. People have stories, huh? Everybody's got a story, I'm telling you.
It's true.
And every story is more inspiring than the next. I don't know what to tell you, but it's crazy.
It's crazy what people can live through and survive and thrive and, you know.
I know.
Turn their lives around after the things they've experienced.
I know. It's amazing to me, you know. Because sometimes it just seems like bigger than life. You go, God, what would I have done? You know, I don't think I would have been able to deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that just give up, or they feel like they're a victim, or, you know, they just have a chip on their shoulder, or they just live their lives differently than somebody that can come out of something so awful and, like, turn it all around.
Yeah. There's got to be accountability, you know, for your life. You have to take responsibility and own up to things, you know. And the thing is, if things are happening to you, they probably are happening for a reason. I totally believe that we come here to learn lessons or according to the Kabbalah, to correct or fix our soul. And so it means by definition that we're supposed to have a difficult life. If we had an easy life, there wouldn't be a reason to be here.
Right.
You know, because there wouldn't be any purpose, let's say.
Right.
You know, so at least that's what I believe, or I'd like to believe anyway.
Yes.
You know. I don't know. This whole reincarnation thing is pretty complicated, but it makes sense. I don't know, you know. The thing is, I don't know what to believe anymore. I can tell you that the Kabbalah, I studied it for a year. And it transformed my life, you know. I mean, it was really a spiritual awakening for me in my 30s. And I mean, I learned a lot from it, you know. They presented it in a more modern way so we could relate to it more.
Mm-hmm.
But so they talk about reincarnation and all these things. And what I learned is they have an answer for everything. You know,
yeah.
I mean, whether it's true or not, I don't know, but it makes sense, you know.
And sometimes we just need answers, even if they're right or wrong. We just need to, like, have faith in something.
Yeah.
So any answer will do.
I know. We're suckers for believing in something.
But then,
you
know, it's like to the alternative of not having answers. That's scary to some people.
I know. That's why they come up with religion and
right.
And cockamamie stories and stuff, you know?
So sometimes ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, I know. Wow. So Mitt Romney says he's not going to run. A lot of people are being mean. and being happy that he's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
he ran Facebook what, three is, times or two times?
Excuse me. I think two times. I'm not sure. But there's such haters on Facebook, I'm telling you. It's like they're ruthless. Some well, of the things they say.
You know, that freedom of speech, it's not always so nice.
Not always pretty, huh?
No.
Wow. I know. Well, you know, I mean, but I like Facebook. It allows me to connect with people, and that's yes. a cool thing, you know. I don't know. It's like you try to imagine what it was like to live without the internet, without Facebook. It seems like almost, you know, like surreal.
It is. I actually just started watching a show called Hindsight on VH1.
Uh-huh.
And it's so good. It's about a woman that's like living now, and she goes back to the 90s.
Oh,
to like
wow.
redo some of her life that she feels like she made the wrong choices about.
Uh-huh.
And it's so good because all of the music is from the 90s. The devices are from the 90s. Like, there aren't iPhones.
Right.
And she says at some point, she's like, oh, I miss my iPhone. And then there's no social media. There's no anything that's like, you know, what right. we have today. And it's just fun to relive that time period, and also you're very grateful for what we have as far as technology.
Yeah, goes. I know. I love time travel stories. I mean, they're
it's
amazing.
So good. It's yeah. so good. I don't know if you'll like the show, but I love it.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna check it out. Maybe it's cool.
Yeah.
So, but it's not a reality show.
I no, mean. It's scripted
right.
on VH1.
Yeah, obviously they're yeah. not going back in time. But I thought, yeah, maybe in their mind or something. But yeah, God, I miss the music that VH1 used to play.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because they were the alternative to MTV. And it was more like softer music.
Yeah.
Not as much, you know. And then they just dropped music altogether.
Yeah.
You know, and VH1 did the same thing, right? I mean, there's no music videos anymore.
Nope, not right? at all. And, you know, I mean, this show is almost like a testament to those times because it's playing all the music they used to play in
yeah.
the show. And I feel like while they're not going to play music videos anymore, this show is the closest we're getting to music.
Right.
On that, I was like, why is this show on this network at all? But then I was like, oh, music, it's a big part of the show. So it's like Alanis Morissette and Collective Soul and like, oh, I forget who else. They just had everybody
Backstreet
on there.
Backstreet Boys, hold on.
Oh, so good. Oh, Backstreet Boys has a movie coming out.
I know, I read that. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Who wants to see that?
I'll go.
Yeah?
Because I loved them.
Because you grew up on them,
yeah.
right? Yeah.
Them, like New Kids on the Block.
Yeah.
They're great.
NSYNC. Yeah, Spice Girls.
Loved all of those bands so much. I could sing every Spice Girl song to you from
really?
Start to finish. I actually saw them perform live when they were here like 6 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Loved it.
Yeah, it's funny how we grow up with things and then we hold on to them, you know.
It's like nostalgic.
Yeah. Yeah, it brings you back to childhood.
Totally.
Especially music and yeah, music like songs and smells too, like scents and odors
yeah.
take you back completely.
It's true. Actually, I spent a summer in LA going into my senior year of high school, and I remember the smell from that summer. And I was like, I love that LA smell. It was like by UCLA, there are certain trees
uh-huh.
that are over there, and it was very distinct. So like that just like smell reminds me of a good time in LA that summer, and I don't always smell it here now, but. I'll always remember it.
Yeah, I know. You somehow don't think of a smell in L.A. of trees and stuff, you know?
It's just UCLA because like there's all those,
fumes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
There are those pretty green trees over there.
Yeah. Oh, well. Let's see. Sunday is the Super Bowl, of course.
Yep.
If you're living under a rock, then you would know that. And so you're rooting for Seattle because you're going to be at a party where there are Seattle fans.
Yeah, and I kind of, after doing like more reading about the team, and I would like them to win.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you've done some research on this.
Yeah, and also Richard Sherman's like going to have a baby possibly that day, and that would be cool if like he wins and then has his baby.
Yeah.
And people are saying like, is he going to skip the game and like if the baby's born before the game?
Right.
On the Today Show this morning, they were all weighing in on their opinions. And I agree with Willie and Savannah. I think that's who both agreed with this. But, like, I think he should play in the game and then go meet his child.
Yeah, that would be cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you don't miss out a chance to be in the Super Bowl. Right?
And then his kid knows that, like, his dad was at the Super Bowl.
Right.
And then came to see him.
Yeah, except the mother's going to probably be, your son is being born.
No, I think she's okay with it.
Yeah?
I think that's like an agreement.
Oh, okay.
That, like, she wants him to play.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, that's nice of her.
Yeah, because, I mean, can you imagine, like, the resentment? Like, what if he missed the game?
Right.
And then the team lost, and then it's like, well, yeah. There's a lot of guilt there. Like, I could have been there and helped.
Yeah.
Or if they win, then he's like, I wasn't part of the win.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. I wonder if he still would have gotten his money. He probably would, right?
I don't know. I don't know how that works, but they make a lot of money.
They do. Like playing in the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Oh, my God. The commercials cost $4.5 million for a 30-second spot.
Wow.
And they sold out.
Four and a half now?
Yeah.
Wow. I remember when they were like $1 million and people made a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
$4.5 million.
Yeah, for like 30 seconds or something, right?
Yep.
Wow. But, yeah, you're reaching a lot of people. And, you know, but they say, you know, one ad is not enough. So I don't know how that works, but... if they obviously feel that one time is going to be enough to spend $4.5 million for 30 seconds.
I guess. And then don't some companies buy like two or more than
right.
one?
Yeah.
That's just so much money.
Like Budweiser, I think, do, and, you know, some of the big ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of money, man. But I guess it's worth it to them.
It is, because then their business, you know, probably sees a big return.
Right. Yeah, I remember, I mean, the most memorable one is probably Apple's Macintosh commercial in 1984. And that was before your time, too, right?
I was born that year.
85. Oh, 84.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. So that's when the Macintosh came out, the Mac. And they did a commercial to introduce it during the Super Bowl. And people still remember this. I guess people that were alive at the time watching the game. But it was a great commercial to sort of like get back at IBM.
Mm-hmm.
So they portrayed like this military authoritarian state where there's like a big screen and the leader's talking. And then there's like, you know, thousands of people listening. Just like in those movies, you know, where there's Big Brother.
Yeah.
And then there's this athlete running towards the screen with a hammer. And throws the hammer at the screen and breaks it, and, you know, and to show that the Mac is coming to break all the rules,
right?
And put down the big brother, you know. So it was a really cool commercial. You should probably, when you have a chance, look it up on YouTube or something.
I will.
But it's I mean, you want to talk about something that's like emotional and stuff. That was, to me, it was.
Yeah.
You know, sort of like breaking free and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was very very creative, I would imagine, expensive to make commercial too.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to have a commercial this year. I'm sure they will.
Oh, Apple?
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know.
They had the highest quarter of all companies ever.
Yeah, huh?
In profit.
The fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Wow. I know. They're selling a lot of stuff. And I guess they could be advertising the watch that's coming out in April.
True.
Yeah. You know, they could be introducing that or something.
It's a good prediction.
Yeah. We'll see. Well, that's if you predict correctly and Apple is going to be advertising.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, even if it doesn't happen, they should have.
Yeah.
Smart.
I know. God knows they have the money, right?
Right.
What's $4.5 million for them?
Nothing.
No.
At all.
I mean, think about it, you know. Based on all the money they have, then $4 million would be like a grain of salt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't even register.
I also don't think
What's $4.5 million?
I don't. Do they even need a commercial? Really?
Probably not.
No, people are going to buy that watch anyway. Right. Are you going to get that watch?
I'm thinking about it. It seems pretty cool, you know. But I still, from the beginning when they started talking about watches, I'm like, what's the point?
I agree.
Yeah, what's the purpose of it? If I got it, it's just because you can use it as a regular watch and change the faces, you know, digitally, because it's not really a face of the watch, you
right.
know. It's like a computer,
right?
Like a screen. So you can change the faces and you can have a different watch every day.
I can't imagine women will buy that.
Yeah, huh?
It's such a man accessory.
Like, I know.
No woman wants a digital watch. Like, we just don't.
Yeah.
It's just not our thing. So.
I know. I mean, to answer your phone with a watch, I mean, what's the point?
I don't know. And who really wants to, like, speak to their wrist?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Dick Tracy.
I'm not into it.
Yeah. I know. But I have a feeling it's going to catch on. I really
I'm sure.
do. You know, everything that Apple does, it becomes successful. And you know, plus they're going to offer things in it, I'm sure, that we don't even know about and that we can't imagine that we need. But once it's here, it's like, oh, how did I live without
right.
it? So who knows, you know?
Who knows?
Yeah. It's like funny because I always drive. I don't have navigation in my car. So, but I know this town, you know, like the back of my hand. So... but I got this new tablet, Android tablet, that I got for free from AT&T. Mm. And I thought, well, why don't I make a GPS for myself? You know,
right.
I mean, because that's all you do. You just put it on the dash and you get a nice GPS system plus all the other stuff you can do on the tablet.
Yeah.
So I'm doing this and now I'm like constantly I'm thinking, oh, wow, this is such a cool way to drive because you always know what's going on around you and stuff as
yeah.
far as traffic and all that. And I'm like... Wow, I can see how you can get used to that.
Totally.
Even when you're not looking for places to go, you know, you're just like driving around without, you know, needing guidance or anything.
Yeah.
But it's just you get used to like seeing all the streets around you and stuff, you know. So I think I'm getting used to that now.
I like knowing where I'm going to be at the time I'm going to be there. Like,
oh, okay.
How
yeah.
it says. Like, because of, you know, crowdsourcing and knowing what traffic is like
right.
because of the other people on the road, I like to know exact time frame. So, like, last night I said to my friend, I will be there in 6 minutes.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Because it said that.
Yeah.
I will be there in 6 minutes.
I know.
Otherwise, I had no idea.
I always take half an hour, and I always get there before that. So, I don't think there's any place in L.A. that you can't get to in half an hour on the freeways. So... I always know I'm going to be there on time, you know.
Well, if there's traffic.
Yeah, but still, I mean, you know, that's the thing is that you take... No, it's... I mean, you have to take it into account, you know, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, traffic is traffic. We always have traffic here, but I still get places in less than 30 minutes.
I don't.
Really?
No, there's a lot of places I don't get to in 30 minutes.
Wow. I can't imagine sitting in the car for any longer than that.
It just depends at the time you drive.
Yeah.
Sometimes when
that's
I go to AfterBuzz, it takes an hour.
Really?
Yeah, and then
wow.
a half an hour back, but
yeah.
an hour to get there because of the time that I
yeah.
would go there.
That's true. There's a lot of traffic then.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, man? A lot of traffic.
It's okay. Just
yeah.
plan for it. Make my phone calls during it.
Yeah.
You know.
I know. And it's been like raining since yesterday. I mean, not really rain. I mean, it's like drizzle.
Drizzle.
Yeah, like two drops here, two drops there. But again, the fact that they didn't predict this, they predicted a sunny day all day yesterday and today, and that's not the case. So I don't believe any of these forecasts, you know. They're totally inaccurate, you
yeah.
know. And I read somewhere that the weatherman is always going to tell you there's going to be rain because if there isn't, they can just say, oops, you know. We
yeah, and you're not mad
be.
At him.
Right. But... But if they don't predict rain and then it rains...
Yeah, you're like, hey. You're,
yeah, why didn't you know that?
Right. Well, I mean, it's barely raining. It's like drizzling.
Yeah.
Like drops.
It is drops. That's the best rain. That's the best of rain we get in L.A.
Yeah.
A couple drops. Did you hear about Suge Knight?
Of course. I can't
arrested
even
in a fatal hit and run. I don't even know him. I just know that he's a rapper, and I think he's a record producer now too, right?
Yeah, that's his claim to fame is that he started Death Row Records.
Oh, it's his?
Yeah.
He's the one that started
yeah.
it. Okay. Yeah. I mean, he's been pretty big. I mean, they call him a rap mogul, and arrested on suspicion of murder, and apparently he drove his truck over two men.
Yeah.
Back and forth. So it's not like he just hit them and kept going, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he hit them going back in reverse and then drove over them again as he sped away.
I mean, this guy can't stay out of the news and it's always for something negative.
Oh, yeah? Has he been in trouble before?
Oh, my God. He's like, he was very notorious for like being very dangerous.
Really?
For a really long
time.
Well,
there you go. So eventually it catches up with him, you know? If they don't get arrested for the small things they do eventually.
He's been arrested.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. He's been in and out of jail.
Really?
In and out of the news. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, he's a bad track record.
Yeah.
Not a good guy.
Not a good guy
no.
at all, huh?
No.
Yeah. Well, so that, I mean, so maybe he deserves this because you don't just run over people and feel that, you know, that you're above the law. It just doesn't happen. And what people forget is many of the rap artists are just they started from really like gang infested areas and things like that, and that's the experience they bring with them, you
yep.
know. And thus, you know, their songs are often violent and demeaning to many people, and yeah, and offensive and stuff, you know, because, you know, I mean, you just take people that normally would probably not be in a public eye, and then you thrust them in the limelight with all these values they grew up with, or lack thereof, and that's what they do. You know, I mean, look at all these like big rappers. I mean, they've always been to jail, yeah. right?
I mean, I think it's part of the world they live in and the image and that kind of thing. They can't be like pristine, you know, humans when they're saying certain things in songs.
Yeah,
they have an image to uphold. So it's like they sort of end up in these scenarios where it's like, oh, well, of course, because they're a rapper, you know?
Right.
It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. There is a rapper that is in jail because of his lyrics, because they are promoting gang violence.
Oh, really?
And you're allowed to, I guess now, I don't know if this is a new law or like a California thing, but you cannot promote a gang like and get profit off of that.
Really?
Yeah, it's illegal to do that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good, actually, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that that was a thing, and I read that, I think, like, yesterday or 2 days ago.
Yeah.
So, his name is, like, Scooby-Doo or something, like, Little Doo, or, I don't know, Zoo, or...
Wow.
But, yeah, he's in jail.
I guess Eddie Murphy is coming back to SNL after 30 years for a host thing, I guess. He's not coming back for good, obviously.
No, but that's exciting.
Yeah, I know. I love Eddie Murphy. I remember they're saying he started when he was 19. I mean, I remember when he was very young on SNL, and he was a breakaway star. You knew he was going to be a star.
Yeah,
you know, he was just extremely talented. And then, of course, you know, he came out and he did all these successful movies, Beverly Hills Cop and Coming to America and all these Trading Places.
Boomerang.
Yeah, you know. And it was... So he did a lot of funny stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But he's been gone lately from the limelight completely.
Yeah.
You know that he even had a song? Did you ever hear a song?
Oh, yeah.
Party All the Time?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
I used to like that song. And
really?
Then, yeah, I guess he just released another song, too.
Really?
Yeah, like a reggae song or something.
Wow, we got to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, interesting. All right, well, folks, thank you so much for joining us. Michael Long, thank you for calling in. And Jen, thank you.
Thank you. It's the weekend.
It's the weekend.
Yep.
We're definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, thank you for listening, and we'll see you on Monday.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.